Wednesday, May 1st, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. We are back for another day of talking sports with a dose of common sense. And yes, it is already the month of May. It seems like April went by really, really fast once we hit that 420 mark. Maybe that was just a coincidence. Maybe that was just here in Colorado.
Craig.
What's up?
Are you high?
But it seems like the month of April kind of flew by. It is already May. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. You know, it was on this day back in 1991 that Texas Rangers starting pitcher Nolan Ryan pitched his record 7th no-hitter to beat the Toronto Blue Jays 3-0. Now, Ryan not only holds the record for most no-hitters with 7, which, by the way, is 3 more than the next closest pitcher, but he also holds the Major League Baseball record for most strikeouts with 5,714. By the way, next closest to him is Randy Johnson, clear back at 4,875. And the next closest active pitcher, CC Sabathia, who's clear back at the 3,000 mark. And the way pitchers play now, hey, these records for Nolan Ryan, they may never be broken. Because now pitchers are on these really super tight pitch counts. We see pitchers take a no-hitter into like the 8th inning and get pulled because of their pitch count. They don't want them to go over that pitch count. Can you imagine a manager walking out to the mound, telling Nolan Ryan, hey, yeah, we're going to take you out. Feel like you've gone a little over your pitch count. Don't want to wear you out. The next fastball Nolan Ryan would be throwing would be directly into the ear of his own manager in his own dugout. And do you know why we have these stupid pitch counts and why it is so important that these baseball teams keep these guys on pitch counts? Because we make them pitch every single day from the time they're like 7 years old. And then we're like, yeah, I don't know why his arm's really getting tired. I know he's a young guy, but arm's kind of wearing out. Yeah, it's kind of strange when you make him pitch 355 days out of the year, isn't it? Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us your favorite pitcher. Well, that ended up getting Tommy John surgery very, very early. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. If you've got some feedback, if you've got a question for the show, feel free to reach out. We want to hear what you have to say. Also, be sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some of the Daily Dose gear that we do have over there. We've got Daily Dose iTeam t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, a number of different Daily Dose items over at tpublic.com. Just go over there, search Daily Dose, and scroll down until you see our logo, and there you are going to find a number of items to pick up. Hey, today on the show, we do have a few news stories coming out in the world of sports. We definitely need to get to those. But then we are going to be continuing our conversation with Big Rob. We are breaking down that 2019 NFL draft that took place this past weekend, and we are handing out some way too early NFL grades to each team. Going to get to that in just a few minutes. And let's get started in the NBA Eastern Conference playoffs, where the Milwaukee Bucks did what they had to do last night. They finally found some outside shooting. They blow out the Boston Celtics 123-102 in game two. They even up that series now at one game each. You know, the Bucks shot 43% from 3-point range. And hey, if they do that, yeah, this is going to be an interesting series, but I'm not sure they can shoot quite that well for the next 5 games. But hey, they absolutely had to have that game last night, and they got it. Over on the Western side, we had the Golden State Warriors facing the Houston Rockets in game two. The game started with everyone keeping an eye on the officiating after, of course, Houston had complained about what they perceive as, I guess, Golden State Warriors bias. But the early story of this game was actually the injuries. You know, Steph Curry left the game with a dislocated finger that sent him to the locker room for a few minutes. And then James Harden got raked across the face and, I don't know, seemed to have scratched his eyeballs. Both did end up returning, but you could see Harden, he really seemed to struggle all night. His eyes looked swollen, didn't look good. It didn't really slow him down. He played pretty well. And the Rockets did get a few more fouls called in their favor. They shot 24 free throws last night, but it didn't really matter. The Warriors still got the win, 115-109. And you know, if the Rockets are going to be complaining about the refs like they did this week, hey, you're going to have to step up your game a little bit. You can't have 17 turnovers. You can't let the Warriors outscore you in the paint 42-36. Now, the Houston Rockets are going to have to win 4 of the next 5 games. Yeah, I don't like those odds at all. And you know, I look at this series this year, compared to last year, and how the Rockets took them clear to the very end last year, took them all the way to a Game 7 last year. And you know, the biggest difference I see this season is the fact that Warriors swingman Andre Iguodala, he's actually healthy this year. Don't forget, he was out for most of that series. And he just does so many things for Golden State. As great as KD and Steph and Klay all are, Andre Iguodala makes a world of difference for the Golden State Warriors. And you could see that again last night. Making dirty work plays. Knocking down a few shots here or there. Making strong defensive plays. Andre Iguodala changes the Golden State Warriors. Finally, while we knew it was coming, it does look like Greg Popovich will be signing a new 3-year contract with the San Antonio Spurs. You know, it's been kind of a foregone conclusion that Pop would be back with San Antonio. But I mean, dude is now 70 years old. And he has said that he kind of likes to reevaluate his coaching career every single year and just kind of take a look back and say, okay, am I ready to do another year? Well, he says that he is. So we were kind of waiting for that just to be sure. Now, Popovich is widely considered to be one of the greatest coaches ever in NBA history. Do you realize he has 1,245 victories in his amazing career? That is third on the all-time list behind Don Nelson and Lenny Wilkins. He's won 5 NBA championships as Spurs coach and has advanced to the NBA playoffs a league record 22 consecutive years. Hey, if you are looking at the best NBA coaches ever, he's right there. I mean, I guess I would probably put guys like maybe Red Auerbach above him, Phil Jackson right around there too. And then, you know, guys like Lenny Wilkins and Don Nelson, I suppose they're in the conversation just because of their longevity. Couple other coaches you might consider in there, but Pop is right there. Of course, those other guys might have actually taught their teams, you know, when to foul, maybe at the end of the game. So he might be just below those guys. But again, he's in there somewhere, just maybe not quite at the same level. Maybe just like a notch or two below. Not that far below, just a little below. Because they taught some things that maybe Pop doesn't always teach. But hey, you can't have everything. Hey, coming back, the 2019 NFL Draft took place this past weekend. And we are going to continue discussing it with a longtime friend of the show when we get back. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, maybe you have a birthday coming in the month of May, and don't forget about Mother's Day in the month of May. Maybe you just want to buy something for yourself. You might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. May's Loot Crate theme is now out, and it is called Nemesis. Dark forces are gathering in this month's crate. That's right. Your nemesis is here. Shake your fist dramatically at a collection of villainous pop culture gear featuring nefarious ne'er-to-do-wells. May's Loot Crate theme features items from Jaws, Ghostbusters, and many other franchises. But if those franchises maybe don't interest you, remember, you can always go over to Loot Crate. You can choose from a number of different crates. And if you have a specific franchise in mind, trust me, they probably have a crate for that franchise. You can also order a monthly subscription of crates that will arrive in your mailbox every single month, and you can always skip months if you don't like what's coming. Or you can just order individual items from whatever franchise you want, and trust me, they have just about any franchise you can think of. But the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning in to the Daily Dose. So yesterday on the Dose, we continued our conversation with Big Rob, a longtime friend and contributor to the show. We talked some NBA playoffs, we got his picks for the NBA Finals, and then we began handing out some way too early grades to NFL teams for who they selected in the 2019 NFL Draft. Now, keep this in mind, we can't possibly know how all these players are going to do, so we're just kind of grading, did they go out and try to get guys that are going to meet their needs? We got through the AFC East, we were working our way through the NFC East, and so far, we have covered the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Giants, and Rob's Philadelphia Eagles. But we are now on to the Washington Redskins. Let's continue our NFL draft grades right now. Let's move on to the Washington Redskins. And I'm not quite sure how to feel about the Washington Redskins. Washington was starting to look like a sneaky team last year until Alex Smith goes down, breaks his leg. Then we see them address two big needs with their first two picks in this year's draft. They go get Ohio State quarterback Dwayne Haskins. And then they also are able to get Mississippi State pass rusher Montez Sweat, who fell because of some health issues, got that heart murmur or whatever. I really, really like those two moves. They do also get Stanford running back Bryce Love. That's kind of a nice pick. I don't know if he'll be healthy. He probably won't, but you know, you didn't have to invest anything into him. They got a couple of offensive line prospects. Washington, I kind of like their draft. I went A- on them. How do you have Washington?
I give them an A+. I think this was one of the better drafts. You know, one of the better drafts. Like you said, they got Dwayne Haskins, Sweat, like you said, and they got Bryce Love late and didn't really reach for any of them. Said, kind of fell to them. Yeah, so I think this was, one of the better drafts.
Can I tell you my concern for them? Here's my concern. Here's my concern for the Redskins. Here's my concerns for Dwayne Haskins. I am genuinely worried he's going to have to play too early and that he's not ready. I think he has the capability to be a big-time NFL quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's there right now. And if they go into the season with him as the starter, just don't break him. Just don't kill him. Just, like, let him grow. I don't want him to be the next David Carr, right. Where he gets sacked so much and it's just too much too soon. And we're looking at him going, oh, this kid's a bust. Well, no, you just put him in too early. That's my concern for him.
Yeah, could be the case. But like you said, I mean, they were rolling with Alex Smith in there. So the offense was decent during the year. So, I mean, he might be okay. I mean, it's not a terrible offensive.
No. Yeah. Nurse him along and just don't put too much on his plate yet. And if they do that, I think Washington is actually in like kind of sneaky good shape. I think they could be a contender in that division.
I agree.
And how long can Adrian Peterson play at this level? I don't understand that. He's what? I think he's 53. 50, he's going to be 53. What in the world? He's still playing really, really well. I never thought he could do it.
I don't think so either. And yeah, he's probably got another two seasons or so.
Probably.
Yeah, I
would think. And with him, maybe five.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, Rob, here's a quick question, kind of off the record. I'll edit this out. Yeah, I won't. You don't have kids.
Correct.
But let's say you had a kid and you can have either Adrian Peterson babysit that kid or Tyreek Hill. Who you letting watch that kid? Yeah, I'm not either. Neither one of them.
Neither one.
Let's move on to the AFC North. And you know, the AFC North might end up being one of the more interesting divisions in the league. Last year, we all thought, hey, it's going to be Pittsburgh and then it's going to be everyone else. The Steelers are loaded. They have more talent probably than anyone in the league. And then they completely implode. The Ravens were a little better than I think anyone expected. And I think everyone this year is expecting the Cleveland Browns to take the next step and be a playoff team. I think the AFC North is going to be very, very interesting. Let's start with the Baltimore Ravens. Hey, I like what the Baltimore Ravens did a lot, except for one thing. But what did you grade the Ravens out at?
I gave the Ravens a B+.
Yeah.
I liked they got Hollywood Brown, wide receiver. I like Miles Boykins that they picked up as well.
Yep.
And I felt like a lot of their picks fit their system.
Yes.
They're doing a little doing it a little different with their quarterback now, like the way that they're playing. And I felt like their picks reflected that, like how they play.
For sure.
So for that reason, I thought it was a good draft by them. I gave them a B+.
Yeah, I gave them an A-, and I'm right there with you. I liked what Baltimore did. They went out and they got guys that are going to fit. They go get Louisiana Tech pass rusher Jalen Ferguson. A lot of teams might look at him and say, well, he's not. Well, for them, he works. I think that's a good pick for them. The most interesting pick, though, that they might have made, they go get Penn State quarterback Trace McSorley. He can't play. He's too little, right? He can't play, right?
Yeah. With that system, too. I mean, that was kind of the one that doesn't really fit, with the system.
My only drawback to what the Ravens did, I guess, was that they didn't, and it wasn't really that they didn't have, there wasn't an inside linebacker that they could really take where they were picking. I know they need to replace CJ Mosley. There just wasn't anyone there that they could replace him with. I am going to be very, very interested to watch the Ravens this year. How are teams going to play Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson? Because the Chargers really neutralized what he did in that playoff game. And I want to see if more teams kind of follow suit. That's how they're going to play. They just took their linebackers off the field and said, hey, we're just going to have safeties come in and tackle him.
Yep. And like you said, you worry about that. Cause like I said, offseason, obviously all the defensive coordinators, you know, have a chance to see that replicate it. So it will be tough, moving forward. So it will be interesting. But if they are still successful, you know, the Ravens moving ahead, you know, that is something to keep an eye on, especially for the draft. Because like I said, since they play a different system, you're drafting different players. So that kind of, you know, sets you up a little differently, you know, going forward.
Yeah, it does. And they are kind of running a system that it's not what anyone else is running. That offense obviously is not what anyone else is running, but the Ravens, I don't know. I kind of like what they did. I kind of think they did some good things. We'll see if they can stick with that system. I think there are a couple quarterbacks this year, and we'll get to one of them here in just a few minutes, but I think there are a couple quarterbacks that are going to come back for their second year, and they're going to say, wait a minute, these defenses look completely different. Mm-hmm. And they have come out and they have taken a year worth of tape and they have game plan and they are taking away the things that I really like to do. And now I don't know what to do. That is going to be a big learning curve. And Lamar Jackson might face that. We'll see now if he can counter that. But that's going to be the next step for the Ravens. That's going to be interesting to watch, though. Next team up is the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals started the year off so good last year, and then they just completely melt down. And a good portion of their problem is their inability to protect quarterback Andy Dalton. But they were able to go out and get Alabama offensive tackle Jonah Williams with their first-round pick. Grabbed a couple. You know, they got Washington tight end Drew Sample. They didn't get a ton of help for that defensive line, though. And for that reason, I marked them down to a C+. Good, not great.
Yeah, we're right in line. I give them a C. I like their first pick, and I think everything else was just okay. Didn't really address a need. Nothing really stood out to me. So just a real basic, just average.
The Bengals did go get an interesting player, though. They go draft North Carolina State quarterback Ryan Finley. They're not looking to maybe replace Andy Dalton, are they?
No.
No?
Not the Bengals.
Not yet.
Not the Bengals.
No, they always know exactly what they're doing. They plan. They execute that plan. They work that plan, and then they just see it through to the end. That's how they operate. I mean, they've got a coach right now that basically doesn't have any experience. I mean, you're telling me the Bengals are going to do something silly? I say no way. That's not how they operate.
Not a chance.
I don't know. If I'm Andy Dalton, I might be getting a little bit nervous if Finley comes in and does it. And I don't know how good Finley is. He's ACC, so I didn't watch him probably as much as, you know, some of the other schools, but I did see him a couple times. He looked kind of like Andy Dalton. He good some games and horrible other games. So I don't know. He might get found the Andy Dalton clone that best fits them.
Yeah, no, I think Dalton will be fine. If not, I'm sure Miami will take him.
Do you think it's his hair? Do you think it's because he's a ginger that we all just look at Andy Dalton and just think, oh, God, you're horrible? Like even in the years he was good, we're like, yeah, but who cares?
It's more so a Bengals thing, though.
He sunburns so easily. It's not.
More so a Bengals thing.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. It is. You're right. It is a Bengals thing. It's not even the fact that he's a ginger. It's the fact that his head matches his helmet. That's the problem. No, that you're 100% right. Let's move on to the Cleveland Browns. And how weird was it this year to not see the Cleveland Browns with like the top pick?
Yeah.
Like it's the first time in like 20 years.
Yeah. I thought I missed it. I thought I tuned in late.
I did too. I'm like, when do the Browns pick? Did they already pick and I missed this? I thought this was the first pick. Are they not? What in the world's going on? They have been there for years, but this year they didn't even have a pick in the first round because they had made that trade for Odell Beckham Jr. But they did get a little bit of value though. In the second round, they get LSU cornerback Greedy Williams. He's okay. I'm not as sold on Greedy as a lot of people are though.
Okay. I'm a Greedy fan.
Are you?
Yeah. I think he's going to be good. Okay. I give him a B-. Like I said, they didn't have an early pick, because of, you know, Odell, but I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah. You got Odell.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. And then I thought the greedy Williams pickup was good too. Yeah. So I'm on B minus.
Yeah. I'm at a C+. So we're not too far off. My concern with Greedy Williams is this. And I think he's a talented player. My concern is that he didn't look as great against very, very good competition. He looked really great against bad competition. He didn't always look as good against the top competition. We know he's going to see the top players, but there's no question he can play. Mm-hmm. We'll just have to see if he can raise his game a little bit. Now, here is the question that I have for the Cleveland Browns. And it is different. And I don't care what anyone says. They can pretend it's not. They're going to say, hey, we have more players. We got Baker Mayfield. We got a new coach. And we don't know exactly what Freddie Kitchens brings to the table. We'll have no idea. But there are now expectations. And that is different, especially for young guys that haven't done this before. When you go out in, you know, your week, I don't know, 3 game against Cincinnati and you are expected to win, hey, you better win.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, it's a lot coming to them, especially, you know, with the addition of Odell. You're looking for them to take another step forward. And like you said, that just, it changes, you know, when you're expected to win now, you know, can you play at that level? And, I think they might have a down year.
I could see that too. Yeah. I just think that there might be too much too soon. Mm-hmm. And they kind of got to figure some things out and they kind of got to grow into their positions. And you have added some pieces. They haven't played together. Mm-hmm. They don't have that chemistry and that continuity that some other teams do. the benefit I think they have is they might be catching, you know, obviously Cincinnati, but Pittsburgh is kind of going through their state of flux, and, you know, Baltimore, maybe you could sneak up on Baltimore. So maybe they're in kind of an easier position, but I think you're right. I think Cleveland could be not quite as great as everyone is saying right. They are.
Yeah, I think they'll still be good, but like I said, not, you know, like you said, not as good as everyone thinks, because there is talent there. I mean, I think they are finally moving in the right direction.
But they're finally an NFL team.
Yeah.
And that's brand new. We haven't seen that. And that sounds bizarre, but it really is true.
Yeah.
Because they haven't had NFL quality players on right. that roster.
Yep.
Yeah. Cleveland's going to be kind of fun to watch this year. And, you know, if I were the NFL, I would have tried to sell Cleveland on national games as early as possible. Because after about week four, it might fall off a cliff.
Yeah,
that could but be it. Through those first 3 or 4 weeks, people go, "Oh man, Cleveland, are they going to go to the Super Bowl this year?" No, they're not. But let's sell it while we can, because we know later in the season, like, I'm not putting them on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah.
God knows they might not have anything by then.
Yeah, they're getting flexed out.
Yeah, a few times. But until then, everyone's going to buy in. Final team in the AFC North, and that is the Pittsburgh Steelers, who were probably the most disappointing team in the league last year. And then we had the offseason, which bizarrely might have got worse. Gone are both Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. And while some of that, I honestly think, is probably addition by subtraction, this team still has a ton of drama. They had to issue like an all points bulletin to current and former players. Stop talking about the Steelers. It's absolutely unbelievable to me. What did you have the Steelers getting in the draft, though?
I give him a B.
Okay.
I like the Devin Bush pick.
Yep.
Was the best. And then I think everything else was balanced. They got good picks, both sides of the ball. Like I said, the Devin Bush was the only one that I really liked. But like I said, all the other picks made sense. I think they, addressed some needs, got a little depth. So yeah, overall, I think it was a good draft for them.
Yeah. You know, the Steelers do usually find good value in the draft. They're pretty good at drafting. It seems like they always draft the core of their players through the draft. That's where they get them. It's not, they don't go out and do a lot of free agency stuff. That's just not what they do. They're really, really good at the draft. You know, like you said, I think they did it again this year, because I think they fleeced the Denver Broncos. They move up to that number 10 spot for like a handful of magic beans or something. They get Devin Bush. Now, I think Bush could be a little bit overrated. We'll see how he ends up. They did also get Michigan State cornerback Justin Lane. They get a wide receiver who they're going to need. Defensive line would have been nice to address, but you know, you take what you can get. I think the Steelers were very solid. I've also got them at a B. Steelers are going to be really fun to watch this year.
Yeah, and I think it'll be an interesting year for Tomlin. I think, you know, we've kind of always gone back and forth if he's a good coach, if he's not.
Yeah.
You kind of got the headaches out the way now. I mean, the Le'Veon Bell thing,
right.
That's over a finish. You don't have to worry about that. Antonio Brown's gone, so you don't have to worry about all that drama that he brings. So there's still some lingering drama with Big Ben, but I think with the other two, you know, gone, you know, you kind of got a chance almost to start over here. So this is, I think, a real crucial year for Tomlin. You know, I think they really need to have a good season this year.
Yeah, I do too, because coming off that last season, that had to leave just a bad taste of everyone around that franchise. That is such a talented team. I think you make a really good point, though. I think you have to start looking at Tomlin saying, wait a second, This is all on your watch.
Right.
When are you going to put a stop to this nonsense? Because we are way too talented to not make the playoffs. Yeah. How are they not making the playoffs? Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. They're so good. The biggest problem I really think, too, is that Ben Roethlisberger a lot of times is a lot of drama himself. I mean, he's going to retire how many times now? That guy.
Seems like it. Like I said, you know, they lost Bell and Brown. But like I said, it's, depending on the reports and who you believe, it seems like, you know, a lot of that did kind of stem yeah. from Big Ben. So, but you know, with them gone, you know, you bring in new players, you know, some rookies, second, third year guys. So you might not, you know, have that clash, you know, that they had with Big Ben.
Well, you'd think that they'd kind of fall in line being right. younger, and yeah. he's the experienced guy and he's mm-hmm. the older guy. And yes, he's still griping about that stupid sprained ankle. Yeah, like 6 weeks ago, I already came back from mine, but that's just how he is. He's always like, I don't know if you guys saw this, but I got hit last week and I might retire. All right, Ben. Like, if you are in the media in Pittsburgh, you have to just do a lot of sighing and rolling your eyes when you're dealing with Ben Roethlisberger. That's just how he rolls. He's just that guy. It's just always, I don't know if you guys realize how much of a load I'm carrying here, but I'm really doing a lot. Whatever, Ben. Okay. If you say so. All right. We're moving on from the AFC North. We're going to move into the NFC North, which is going to be very, very interesting to watch again this year. The Chicago Bears, I think, are going to be the team to beat. The Minnesota Vikings do still have some talent. Green Bay has the drama over in the NFC, and I'm almost positive, I'm not 100% sure, I'm almost positive the Detroit still has a team. They have a, they do, don't they?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. I wasn't positive on that, but I wanted to just verify. Let's start off with the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears were looking to add a running back because they dealt Jordan Howard to your Philadelphia Eagles because they said he didn't, in quotation marks, fit their system. I don't know what that means. I think it means there's something else there that they're not telling us. But I thought Jordan Howard was a pretty good running back.
Oh, yeah. Had a good season.
Yeah, he's a pretty solid runner. They go get Iowa State runner David Montgomery. And I think he's a workhorse kind of back. I think he's a tough kid. I kind of like what he brings to the table. They also get Georgia wide receiver Riley Ridley. Another good value. They needed a safety. They didn't get a safety. I'll knock him down for that. I'll give him a B minus. I actually thought they might draft two or three kickers too, but they didn't do that. So B minus for me. What do you got?
C plus for me.
Okay.
And that's, they didn't get kickers. That's
just specifically for
because of the kickers. Yeah.
That's, you should have used 4 through 7 just for kickers.
Yeah.
We're just going to take four different kickers. We're going to see. One of you is going to win.
That's what we need. Yeah.
And Sebastian Janikowski, I know you retired. Come on back.
Come on. Yeah. Why not?
We've got plenty of roofies back here. You can get all you want. Chicago is a fun town. And your big leg, a kick in the wind.
Yeah.
Won't be a problem at all. We're kind of right in sync on this whole Chicago Bears thing. Let's move on to Detroit Lions because the Lions are trying to improve that roster this year. They did go sign Patriots pass rusher Trey Flowers. They do need some help in their secondary. They need some help on the interior of their defensive line. And Matt Stafford probably needs some more weapons. I don't know that he has enough. They went and got TJ Hockenson with their first draft out of Iowa, and I kind of like him, but I wondered if maybe they would go Ed Oliver there.
Yeah, I thought they would have too. I give him a C, as well. Like I said, I think they had a lot of, needs that they didn't address. Nobody really, you know, stand out. Like I said, especially for Stafford, something on that offensive side.
Right.
That they didn't pick up. So yeah, I was just a little, like I said, I'll give him a C.
Yeah, I went with a C as well. And I guess, you know, Hockenson, I guess is the biggest thing that is positive for them. But honestly, we're kind of getting a little bit greedy with Detroit because they go out and they get Hockenson and you're like, okay, cool. Maybe they should have went defense. Maybe they should. Hey, I'm just happy they didn't go get another awful wide receiver like they did every single year. They're going to get in Charles Rogers and another Mike Williams and let's get four more Mike Williams. And they were just drafting horrible wide receivers every single year and then wondering why things were turning out poorly for them.
Yeah. So yeah, at least they got off of that. But, yeah, I said overall, I didn't.
No, just average. Nothing that impressive. Okay. Yep. Let's get to a team that, went into this draft needing some weapons on the offensive side of the ball. And that is those Green Bay Packers because they have Aaron Rodgers. They need some wide receivers. They need some tight ends. They need some running backs. They need some offensive. They need anything on the offensive side of the ball. So who do they take? Michigan linebacker Rashawn Gary, who might be even a little bit overrated. Hey, Maryland safety Darnell Savage. I think he's a good pick. I think he's a solid player. You didn't overspend for him. I think that's a good value pick. You didn't get really what you needed. I'm going to give the Packers a D plus.
I got him at a C minus.
You're right there.
Same thing you said. Like I said, it's, you know, obviously Rodgers' team. You need offense. You know, someone for him to throw the ball to. And that, you know, they didn't address that at all.
Here's the thing that Aaron Rodgers already hates that front office, right? Like we can all come to that.
That's fair.
Yeah. Come to accept that.
Yeah.
He hates their guts. And then they come out and they don't give him any weapons to play with. Like they don't give him. It's just going to add more fuel to that fire. He already hates them. And they didn't go help him at all.
Yeah, not at all. Like I said, I don't know if that's their way to try and get back at him with this internal feud they got going on. Or I don't know exactly what it is. But yeah, I didn't like their draft at all.
No, this reeks of when the Denver Broncos drafted Tommy Maddox when John Elway wanted wide receivers. He wanted some help. He wanted somebody. And they're like, how about another quarterback? How do you feel about that? Because we were thinking we'd go with another quarterback. Do you like that? That's the biggest shock to me. I'm surprised the Packers didn't go out and pick a quarterback. Just, hey, Aaron, let's just lay everything on the table. We're going to have this out. They were just going to get after it. And at least they didn't do that. I don't know. I don't know that Aaron Rodgers likes anyone up there. I don't know that he likes his new head coach. It just seems like the Packers, I think, are in some trouble.
I agree. Yeah, I think they are as well.
Hey, tomorrow on The Dose, we will continue to break down the 2019 NFL Draft with Big Rob and give you our way too early grades for each and every NFL team. If we haven't gotten to your team yet, don't worry. We definitely are going to. Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to and for sharing the show. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the text. Thank you for the questions. Thank you for the tweets. We appreciate it all so much. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Wednesday.